You might think it's an odd title, but I've heard this phrase, for the love of God. I've heard it said in exasperation. Sometimes people say it when they're fed up, and they'll just throw their hands up and say, well, for the love of God, you know, or whatever. Something's happening in their life, and they just spout it out. Not really calling on Him, but they just spout it out. And in a sense, that's a way of using the Lord's name in vain. We often do that. Some people will say, oh my God, and not really be calling upon the Lord. And so we got to be careful about that. You know, if you're going to mention God, if you're going to call upon the Lord, really call upon Him. And so what I'm going to do is talk about an act of love that was performed in John chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. So our lives are constantly, as we've heard tonight in the prayer request, full of turmoil. And we can't control a lot of the events. And that bothers us. You see, it bothers us when we feel out of control. It begins to become worry. And I'm thankful that Aaron and some of the others, they've actually heard some sermons here just recently on how worry grieves the Father. Because you really don't put trust in Him. But here we go. I mean, the Lord, all this turmoil going on, like the one in, I guess most of you heard about the fire that happened in France, the Notre Dame Cathedral. Well, that's just one example. I don't think anyone knows what caused it yet, unless you've heard and I haven't. But I do know France has had a problem with hundreds, not talking about a few, I mean, ranging up over 1,000 or more cases in just 1 year alone where churches are being attacked or damaged in some way. So there's a spiritual battle going on. And this battle is for your very soul. Satan is here to do what? To kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to take you with him. And that's his modus operandi. That's what he's here for. And I got to thinking today when I was putting this message together this week, I was thinking today about even though Jesus was the eldest brother, he was never married. He never had children of his own. I think he helped raise his family, but he never had children of his own. So when people believed on him, he basically, if you want to think of it that way, he adopted them. They became his own. He would even refer to them sometimes as little children. You know, they were his sheep. And so Jesus had no earthly children, but he adopted quite a few people who believed on him. And so now he's come to a place that he knew he was coming to, by the way. And this would be hard for most of us, but he come to a place to where he knew he was going to offer his life and he was going to be poured out. His blood was going to be spilled. He knew all this damage was going to come to him, but yet he did not shirk back from it. So on this particular night, beginning in John chapter 13, verse 1, he says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, you know, those who put their faith in him. And I love this part. He loved them unto the end. You see, right at this moment, as they were getting ready to celebrate the Passover supper, Jesus knew he was going to be betrayed. He knew he was going to be denied. He knew that he was going to be left all alone. And that's how a lot of us sometimes feel. We know sometimes people are going to stab us in the back. They're going to betray us. They're going to leave us. They're going to forsake us. And he knew all this. And even to the point of being denied. That gets me too. He knew all of this, but yet he wanted to pour out his love. Now, this is a private moment Jesus is having with his disciples. Oh, what I would love to have been a spectator, maybe even one of them at the time, to see what was going on. Because Jesus was about to do something that really confounded them. And we'll go through this here. So I'm going to go through verses 2 through 4. So verse 2 of chapter 13, he said, "And supper being ended," and by the way, sometimes that can be translated, "and supper when it began," because as you read further down and through the chapter, you still notice that they're having supper. But anyway, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot," the man who was going to betray him, "Simon's son, to betray him." He was going to betray the Lord. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. And this is Jesus. He riseth from supper, and he laid aside his garments. So he took off his cloak, and he laid it all aside, and took a towel, and he girded himself. Now, this is the part that I think probably was most confusing to the disciples. What you have to understand in that day and time and in that culture, the only kind of person who would dress like he did, lay aside his garments and wrap himself in a towel, gird himself, was a slave. Can you imagine the Lord, the Master, the King of Kings, dressing up or taking on the part of a slave? We say servant, and it just rolls off of our tongue sometimes. But a slave was what it was really talking about. He took on the role of a slave. And so this duty was usually meant for only for the lowliest person in the household. And so here's Jesus girded about with his towel. And the disciples, they just had to be confounded by all of this. It's just, to them, I don't think it made any sense at all. They didn't know what he was going to do dressing up like a servant or a slave. But they knew that Jesus himself had the gall, I guess you would call it, or at least had the strength to go against the Pharisees and the Sadducees and anybody who came against him. And yet here he was, humbling himself down to the lowest part that he could do for the disciples. This was a private meeting. Judas was in the meeting. Keep that in mind. Judas was in the meeting. This was a private supper. And so now Jesus is dressed as a common slave. So I'm going to read the next three verses, which I find very, very interesting. So after he dressed like a slave, it says, after that he poureth water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. Let's pause there for just a moment. This is what you do when people come to your house in those days and those times. You wash their feet, because most of the time they would take a bath before visiting you so they wouldn't smell all so bad. We do that all the time, right? We take a bath. And sometimes if you don't take a bath, you'll sit all the way to the other side. No offense, Jim. Just kidding. No, if you don't take a bath, you try to get away from people as far as possible. But no, when you come through the streets, you get dust all over your feet. So one of the first things a slave will do is wash your feet. Just rinse it out with water and wipe it off with a towel before you sit down to eat. And so Jesus is now beginning to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded, because it must have been a fairly long piece of cloth. And so verse 6 says, "And then he cometh to Simon Peter." Oh, you gotta love Peter. "And Peter saith unto him, Lord, Dost thou wash my feet? This is where I think he was so confused. He's referring to him as Lord. And he's right. He is the Lord. And he's like, what are you doing down there? Why are you thinking about washing my feet? I don't know how many feet he washed before he got to Peter. But Peter's probably sitting there looking, and then and all of a sudden he sees him heading his way, and his eyes probably getting this big and trying to figure out what is Jesus up to. So Jesus gets to him and he said, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Now, one thing you have to understand, and I'll direct this to you, Marcia, sometimes you don't always know what's going to happen. A lot of times we don't always know what's going to happen. We don't see Jesus playing the part of somebody or working with somebody out here, cooperating with someone who is of a lowly part. And behind the scenes, he's working out his love for your sister, for us, for each and every one of us. Jesus may be working behind the scenes. And even though we don't think nothing is happening, I've come to that conclusion before. I got so exasperated one day, I threw my hands up, drawn the nose. I said, I don't see the Lord doing a thing. And it was the very next day. I feel like if I would have just held on for one more day, or maybe that's what the Lord was waiting on, for me to give up. Because I did. I was like that man when they were trying to cast the demon out of his son. He said, Lord, I believe, but help mine unbelief. You ever got to that point sometimes? Sometimes I believe, and like that message you heard, Aaron, sometimes we don't believe, really. We say we do. We don't intend to act like we don't, but that's why we worry. But here, Jesus comes straight out and told him, he said, what I'm doing now, what I do, thou knowest not now, but you will know, you shall know. And later Jesus goes on to explain it, but we're not going to get to that point. I just want you to see the love that Jesus is pouring out. So Jesus admits that Peter does not understand what's going on, but he will later. So we become dazed and confused, and we oftentimes don't see the Lord in action, but things are going on behind the scenes. But Peter has a way of mouthing off, don't we all? Peter, on multiple occasions, and this being one of them, rebukes the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I'd be a little more careful what I say to the Lord. Somebody who can raise the dead, who can heal the sick, who can open blind eyes, open the deaf ears, and I mean, all of these sicknesses and miracles and things that he did, cleansed the lepers, the man with the lame hand. And by the way, when he was in the synagogue, he didn't even ask to be healed. Jesus, the Pharisees were all watching Jesus to see if he would heal on the Sabbath, as if that was a real bad thing. To them, it was. He was breaking the law. And Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he looked at the man and he said, stretch forth your hand. And said, when the man went to stretch it out toward Jesus, it was made whole. He didn't ask to be healed, but Jesus healed him anyway, and it was the Sabbath. Oh, that infuriated the Pharisees, infuriated them. But Peter has a way of talking back to the Lord, not, I don't want to say not disrespectfully, but at the same time he rebukes the Lord. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. In other words, he thought what Jesus was doing was just too far beneath him. Jesus, you're the Lord, you're the King, you're the Master. You have the keys to the kingdom. You're the Son of God. You'll never wash my feet. Now, this is Peter's reaction. He's telling Jesus, and again, I think I would think twice before I'd tell Jesus such things. But look at Jesus, how he answered him. And I can't believe that Jesus would answer harshly in this regard. I think he looked at Peter lovingly, and he said, "If I wash thee not," talking about his feet, "if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And so Peter, I mean, when he rebukes the Lord, you got to understand the Lord is doing something special. This is a special moment, a private moment with his disciples, with his own. And the Bible says, we read it earlier, says he loved them to the end. And he was showing them something. And he told Peter, he said, and I'm sure the others had questions too, but he told Peter, he said, "You don't understand it now." He said, "But you will." Later, he said, "You will." And so you got to understand that an act of love, there's two parts to it. There's the giver, okay? There's the giver of an act of love. And then there's the person receiving the act of love. In this case, Peter. Peter was going to receive a very precious moment here. But at the same time, he either didn't feel worthy, or he felt Jesus was just too above that, to where he blurted out, he said, "Thou shalt never wash my feet." Now you notice the other disciples, the scripture doesn't record them saying anything. They let Jesus do what Jesus wants to do. But Peter, he jumps in with this. And Jesus, I believe, lovingly tells him, because he's pouring out his love, knowing he's getting ready to offer himself up as a sacrifice to the whole world, he offers himself up and he says, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." You got to understand, when Jesus is doing something, you got to have cooperation between the giver and the recipient of love. There needs to be, you accept love graciously. Sometimes it's hard to do. I'm one of those people. I like to give, because the Bible does say it's better to give than to receive. But it's hard sometimes to receive, isn't it? It's hard sometimes to receive. But then you rob people of a blessing. Maybe the Lord has asked them to do something for you, and you rob them of a blessing. And I've had to learn that. I've had to learn that if somebody wants to pour out their love on any one of us, we have to cooperate with them by being a gracious recipient. So Jesus said, "If I don't wash your feet, you don't have no part in me." And I love Peter's enthusiasm. He truly loves the Lord. I know he does. He truly loves the Lord. But look at this next verse. "Simon Peter saith unto him," talking back to Jesus, when he sees that if Jesus does not wash his feet, if he doesn't let him do that, Jesus is saying, "You have no part in me." Now Peter turns it completely around. He says, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Oh, I love Peter's enthusiasm. I truly do. But here he rebukes the Lord, and now he's trying to tell the Lord how to do what he's trying to do. Both parts are wrong. Yes, I would love for the Lord to answer prayers the way I want them answered. But sometimes I have to just step back and say, "Lord, you take care of it. You handle it." And so Peter, he's now saying, first of all, you're not going to wash my feet. And when the Lord says, "If I don't, you don't have any part of me," he's like, "Well, I don't want that. So instead of just my feet, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus goes on to explain that, you know, sometimes when you're walking through this life, and you know how sin can happen as you're moving about life, you're moving about people, sometimes sin creeps in. You're not all that dirty. You just need cleaning. And so Jesus explains, you know, you don't need a bath now, because they probably already had one. He said, right now you just need a little cleaning. And so We have to think about that. Jesus is showing an example of the kind of love that we ought to have. That's why I sang that song. This is how we know we are his disciples, is if we love one another. Oh, I could preach another whole sermon about that. But here's the thing. So Jesus demonstrated his great love by humbling himself. Oh, I can't imagine it really. But he humbled himself to the lowly estate of a slave. Okay? And after he did all that, he put on back on his clothes and he explained a little bit. But that's not the part I wanted to focus on. I wanted to focus on that Jesus was pouring out his love to his disciples. Guess what? If you know the Lord tonight, you are his disciples. Jesus will pour out his love all over you. And he's willing to do that. He's waiting to do that. If you don't yet know him, all you have to do is just invite him into your heart. Lord, I'm a sinner. Oh, Lord, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me, a sinner. I think of the woman who washed his feet with her tears. I think I asked this question in Sunday school when I was teaching Sunday school one day. I said, can you be saved and not say a word? And we have to think about that. Well, there was an occasion where this woman walks in and they referred to her as a sinner. Now, I'm not quite sure what all that meant, but I'm sure she led a very bad life, a very bad life. Even the Pharisee who invited Jesus to supper said if he knew what type of woman this was that was touching his feet, he would know better. Well, the woman cried. All she did was cry. She never said a word. She just cried. And tears were just falling like rain on Jesus' feet. She was pouring out her love on him. And that's all she could do. She could just cry. And his feet, who knows what they look like? You know how you walk in mud or walk, you know, you get your shoes dirty and whatnot. You're kind of filthy, you know. But in that day and time, who knows what you might have walked through. And she wiped his feet with her hair. And then Simon had that thought. He said, if he knew what kind of a, if he really were a prophet, he would have known what kind of woman is touching him. And then Jesus said, Simon, I've got something to say to you. Say on, master. How you like that? Now he's back to going, say on, master. Tell me what you want to know. He said, you know, there's two people who owed this man money. He said he owed him 500 denarii, which back then a denarius was a day's wages. 500 is over a year, almost 2 years' wages. And another one owed 50. Okay, so the guy promptly forgave the debt to both of them. And so he asked Simon, he said, who would love the master the most? The one that, you know, so he waited for the answer. And the Simon goes, well, I suppose it would be the one he forgave the most, the one with the 500, the over a year and a half salary. He forgave that debt. Can you imagine giving somebody that much money, a year and a half salary in today's terms, and then go up to them and say, well, by the way, you don't have to pay me back. And Jesus asked Simon, who would love him the most? He said, well, I suppose it would be the person who he forgave the most. And Jesus said, you rightly judged. He said, this woman you see here, he said, I came here, and the custom was the host or should have somebody wash Jesus' feet. Didn't do it. But the woman, when she came in, she cried over them. She washed Jesus' feet. She dried them with her hair, and she poured ointment on his feet. He said, and also you didn't offer me a kiss. And that was a custom back then. They'd kiss each other on the cheek, you know, as a sign of greeting. And he said, and since I've been here, this woman hasn't ceased. She hasn't stopped kissing my feet. She was pouring out her love, just like Jesus was pouring out his love to his disciples. And he told Simon, he said, and furthermore, you didn't even anoint my head. In other words, he didn't do any of the things that a host should do. He broke protocol. But this woman, who was not saying a word, all she could do was pour out her love and her heart to Jesus and wash his feet, and pour ointment on it. And she never said a word. And he looked at her and he said, "Daughter, thy sins are forgiven thee." And boy, that got their attention. That got their attention. Without saying a word, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." And then he told her, said, "Go in peace. Your faith has saved you." She believed who he was. Jesus heard her heart. Oh, I pray he hears your heart tonight. I pray he hears your heart. I'm going to close out the CD with this prayer. If you would, please stand. Oh, I forgot to show you even the last scripture. Let me show you this last scripture. Jesus had said this to his disciples. He said, "But he that is greatest among you," that would be Jesus, right? Jesus was the greatest among them. "Let among you shall be your servant." Don't seek for power. Don't seek for glory. Seek him. Seek how you may serve him. And when you serve him, you're serving each other. Yeah, please stand. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you hear our heart tonight. If there's any here, Lord, who doesn't know you, I pray they will come and we will pray and you will accept them, Lord, as they are. You will accept them and you will draw them and you will change their lives. You will give them a new heart. Lord, I pray that you bless this service. Lord, I pray that you take the words that were given tonight and that you apply them to our heart. Give us ears to hear and a heart to feel and Lord, eyes to see the love that you have poured out among us as a congregation. And Lord, I pray in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If there's anybody who wants